Here with El Dorado head football coach Joe Clark. Coach, 2018, not a bad year for the Eagles. 7-3 season. Those two regular season losses coming to powerhouses, Cesar and Fairfield, so you can't feel too bad about those. And then, of course, the first round exit, not exactly what you're looking for. But what were your thoughts on the season as a whole, despite those losses and the early exit in the playoffs?
Yeah, we were pleased, as we reflect on the season. Had a few hiccups in there, and obviously we're not perfect, but our general goals, we don't talk a lot about it. We just try to be competitive every day, but we'd like to compete for the conference championship and be in a position to make a playoff run. And we did one of those, and week 10, the playoff game, we competed, and ultimately we're in a tough position in that game. But when you reflect on it, you had a good year. The kids fought, they competed. We had fun while we did it, so we're super pleased with the overall outcome.
And that's only year two for you here in the El Dorado campaign for you. 16 wins with the program in your 2 years, I think it is. You got to be feeling like the community is backing you at this point.
Yeah, and I'm from here, played here, have a lot of support, family here, that kind of stuff. So all that is awesome, and super fortunate to have that in my life. My wife Gretchen, super supportive of our program, which makes a big difference. With Coach Hampton, who was here for 9 years before me, he set the foundation and felt like I was a part of that for sure. But continuing that tradition the last couple years has been a challenge, but also been fun, and we've really enjoyed it and just hope to continue it.
And, you talk about challenges. One of those challenges is turnover at the high school level. It happens a lot more than you would like to, I think, but because you get the good players maybe only for 2 years at the varsity level, but you got to keep finding that. For those that may not know, what all is El Dorado losing to graduation?
We lost some pretty good seniors, kids that made All-South, All-Conference, Jace Jenkins, Joe Mayberry. Dawson Minton, obviously those are some bigger names that are gone. Jeremy Bulge, Justin Mason, the list of seniors goes on and on. But every year, and it's a year-round process, and trying to do it the right way and efficiently and, fit into the guidelines you have to fit into, we try to develop our kids just to reach their max potential. And if they can reach their max potential as a student, as an athlete and as a person, then a lot of times that you'll have some, not guaranteed, but you'll have the success that you're wanting.
And so the depth, would you say able to fill the gaps that you're going to have with that turnover?
That's the plan every year. some years there's a few more challenges than others, but we got a good core of young guys that are working hard at it, and some good returners that have had some experience. So we feel like we're in a position to be competitive, within our league. And in 2019.
How would you say the off-season program has gone so far for you?
Very good. We have the weightlifting program, and the kids are super committed in the program, trying to, essentially become better athletes, is the overall goal there, and sprinkle in a few things here and there just to be in a good position as the summer approaches, and try to continue through the summer, obviously, which is ahead of us a little bit, and the end of the season, and it goes by pretty quick. But the off season's going well. Our kids, essentially, if you're not committed, you're not a part of the program. So the kids that are there, are 100% all in, and that makes a big difference.
Without giving away any of your program secrets, if you will, are there any unique things that you do with your off season program to give yourself the edge over other programs?
Just continue to try to learn, is the biggest thing. The days of just showing up and lifting some weights on your own, are over. You try to develop their strength, really trying to focus on how to become faster, more athletic players, which is, I don't want to say a new concept, but things that I need to learn about more. It used to just be, hey, the stronger you were, the better. But, there's really an emphasis on movement now, and we're trying to continue to learn and develop in that area. If there's a secret, and it's not really a secret, everybody knows this, but it's just the day-to-day commitment to try to get better. And if we can do that over the consistency of days, weeks, months, we feel good about where we're at as we enter the season.
And then you were just talking about it some, you know, the guys need to be there with the off-season program, learning and, you know, bonding with the team and just getting better as a whole. But sometimes you get those multi-sport athletes also, and I think Urban Meyer is the one that's really brought it into the light that, you know, this is what college coaches are looking for. What are your thoughts? Do you think that that helps out on the football field?
For sure. I mean, the best players we've had in the past, I don't know, just 3 years off the top of my head, and it goes further back than that, I'm sure, have been the kids who compete year-round. I mean, there's no replacement for that. We can lift, we can run, get faster, but, man, when people are watching and you're competing and you're on an island, there's no replacement for that. So we obviously encourage that, and it's I don't want to say it's changing, but, you know, there's some trends that, you know, kids want to simplify maybe a little bit more and focus on a few things, which is fine. You know, it's always up to what's best for that kid. But, man, if you can be competitive in multiple sports, you know, it helps you in whatever you're trying to do.
One of those multi-sport athletes that you've had recently was Jacob Traxler. He's at SIU now, redshirted last year. Played running back for you guys. I believe he was on the defense too, but now he's focused solely on linebacker over there for Nick Hill and his staff. What have you heard from him and his family about his time over there, what he's learning, and how he's enjoying it?
It's a real neat story. I mean, he's particularly early in high school, and he kind of blossomed a little bit as he grew up. But he's an introvert. You know, he kind of is a quiet kid. He's shy a little bit. But, man, he's come out of his shell, and he's doing a great job at SIU from everything that I've heard. He got a red shirt last year as a freshman, so he's still got 4 years of eligibility. Made the dean's list academically, fitting in socially. Just a hardworking kid. You know, I don't know what his ceiling is athletically. He's obviously a very good player for us, and I definitely think he's working hard to try to get on the field over there in time. You know, I hope he will.
And then finally, tragedy struck the community earlier this winter. Three El Dorado boys sent to the hospital in a pretty bad car accident. Luckily, no casualties, but it still shook the community and even rattled some towns nearby as well. Two of the kids were football players. Joey Etienne was one. He took the worst injury of all, I think we can all agree. What can you share about that situation? How have they all been recovering?
You know, the kids that were involved, it was just kind of a unique situation. The circumstances of the accident were unique, not what you typically see when you have a difficult situation like that. But all three kids are recovering. Joey's situation is tougher and longer, maybe, is the best way of saying that. You know, he's got a road in front of him, but I see him about every 2 weeks or so. He's in St. Louis in a rehabilitation bridge hospital, and every time he's better. And it's really been it's really clarified things for me as a coach, things you kind of know, but it takes situations like that for you to be reminded and point out to you a little bit on kind of what's really important. But the reality on Joey is, you know, he's a great kid, a hard worker, and got a great attitude. And, you know, we all expect him to make a full recovery. But we all need to be patient, and especially Joey needs to be patient with it, because it's, you know, it's a challenge.
Right. And then this is Southern Illinois. You know, the hospitality around the entire area is not something you see in other areas, but around here it's very common. But still, the outpour of support from the communities nearby, did it surprise you? It was a whole bunch for just those three kids, which is expected around this area. But, I mean, at the same time, there was so much support.
Yeah, it was. That's been neat to see. And not only our community, which is, you know, generally pulled together for a lot of circumstances, and there was a handful of stuff going on at the same time within our community that people were pulling together for. But the surrounding communities and the popularity of it was really neat to watch, and just other communities and schools getting involved with just either showing support or helping financially with the you know, extreme medical costs that, you know, all three families are enduring. It's wowed me. I mean, just, you know, if I ever thought McLeansboro would wear purple, I'd have been crazy. But it's brought people together. The reality is, you know, we're from different small towns, but, you know, Southern Illinois is, you know, we're a lot alike, and we like to compete, and we love our hometown teams. But man, when something like this happens, it really pulled a lot of different people together, and that's the silver lining of it for sure.
Thanks so much, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate it.